This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The U.S. State Department is sending beatboxers, graffiti artists, and DJs around the world in a program to engage in people-to-people diplomacy. Mark Katz is a professor of music at UNC Chapel Hill and the founding director of Next Level, a project in hip-hop diplomacy. He's with me to talk about Next Level and his new book on the subject, Build, the Power of Hip-Hop Diplomacy in a Divided World. Mark, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Tell us about this project, this sort of hip-hop diplomatic effort. What's going on here?
Well, hip-hop diplomacy has been around since 2001, but the program that I direct is called Next Level. That's been out since 2014. It's already gone to more than 30 countries around the world. And it's an extension of what the State Department was doing in the 50s and 60s when it sent people like Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, and others around the world. And it's a way to connect U.S. citizens with citizens of other countries through culture, and particularly hip-hop culture, which is popular all over the world.
Now, talk about the difference, and I'm not sure what was going on. I know that there was a lot of that, and we were promoting jazz abroad, particularly in the competition with the Soviet world and the communist world to promote American culture. But this involves what you're doing now at Next Level, involves a real people-to-people kind of effort and workshops getting people involved. I don't know how much of that was involved in the 50s and 60s. Do you know?
Yes, it was more what you would call presentational back at that time. The people-to-people aspect was more informal after shows and the like. But our program is really heavily invested in the people-to-people aspect, meaning getting U.S. citizens, not diplomats, not officials, but U.S. citizens on the ground interacting with people of other countries, in this case, people who love hip-hop and who feel that hip-hop is a shared culture.
Talk about how did you get involved in this?
Well, I've been teaching and writing about hip-hop for about 20 years now. And in doing that, I've always wanted to collaborate with the hip-hop community. I'm not an artist myself. So over the years, I've brought hip-hop artists in as guests and actually co-taught with them. I've taught classes with hip-hop artists. And then a few years ago, 2011 actually, came Beatmaking Lab, which started out as a class at UNC, but then became an international program that sent Pierce Freelon and Apple Juice Kid around the world. And then in 2013, the State Department put out a call for proposals to create a program that looked like what I had already been doing, but was on a bigger stage. And so I threw my hat in.
And there was a little dance you had to do. It's a funny story, actually, about how you got word that you were under consideration and finally got the grant, right?
Right. It tells you something about bureaucracy. I got a call from the State Department. They said, we can't say whether you've gotten the grant or not, but can you answer a question? And the question was, what if we gave you $160,000 more than the grant would provides? Do you think you could do something productive with this? And of course, the answer is yes.
Oh, no, of course not. If you gave me more money, I'd have to just shut it all down.
Exactly.
Of course, right?
No, so I said, of course, I could do something with it. And then the answer was, well, please send us your updated budget by tomorrow. And I was out of the country, but I made it work.
All right, so what do you, and you got it.
Yes.
All right, well, that's good. So now what do you do with that money? Give us a sense of what happens when you get to a country.
Well, this money goes to pay for a number of things. It goes to pay for artists, U.S. artists to travel, to stay. We pay them. It also pays for equipment that we bring and then we donate to local communities. And another important aspect of this program is that every country we go to, we invite one local artist to come to the U.S. for a program. And in fact, a couple of years ago, we had some of them here on this show.
Right. Well, so talk about what happens there and what the setup is like. How long are your artists there from the United States? What's the interaction? What's the product? How does it go?
Well, these are two-week residencies, and there are workshops in each discipline of each artist that we send. So, for example, Josh Rousey, who went to Mexico, who's sitting next to me, he did a workshop on rap. And we have workshops on beatboxing, DJing. But there's actually more to it than just the skills-based aspect. We teach entrepreneurship from a hip-hop perspective. We teach conflict transformation from a hip-hop perspective as well.
Let's talk about that event in Mexico that Rowdy, who is sitting here, we're going to talk to you in just a minute, but I want to hear a little bit more about what happened in Mexico. And actually, maybe what we'll do is play a little bit of the final performance, right? And then we'll come back and maybe talk a little bit about. But this is what happened in as a result of your trip to Mexico.
Boys, DJs, daggers y MCs, incluso son parte de los haters y wannabes. Ver personas congregadas por esto me fascina. Reunidos en salones, bares, plazas, esquinas. Yo solo soy un letrista jugando el arquitecto. Solo soy un artista creando estructuras en los textos. Soy un turista circulando en selvas de concreto. Tantas cosas más y casi todo es por esto y como dice.
Here's a clip from a Mexican hip-hop artist performing with Next Level, and I am talking about the program with Mark Katz, who's the founding director. So was that the culminating project that I was listening to?
Yes, there's always a final show that brings all the workshop participants together with the American artists, and it's meant to bring the whole community together to show this collaboration at work.
Well, joining the conversation now is hip-hop artist Joshua Rowsey. He is a triangle-based hip-hop artist who performs on the stage as Jay Rowdy, and he went to Mexico with the Next Level, and he's been on this show before. Rowdy, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Frank, thank you so much for having me.
What was it like to be in Mexico, and what did you do there?
It was an amazing 2 weeks. We were in Morelia and Mexico City as well, and kind of like Mark was saying, we were leading workshops, but as well just building with the local MCs, artists, b-boys, and DJs over there. And from there, we were able to have that final presentation that you guys just heard and really just collaborate through hip-hop. It was an amazing time.
And the amazing thing, and I just wonder what your take on it was as you go around the world, is certainly when you went to Mexico, as was the case in the 50s and 60s when we were sending jazz artists around the world, jazz was already wildly popular.
Right.
Everybody knew it. Everybody got it. In fact, I think in some ways maybe the Europeans got it better than us. But And now hip-hop is the same thing. It's a worldwide phenomenon. What's it like for you to go to a place like Mexico and see everybody, they're already doing it.
It was just amazing to see that this culture that was the hip-hop culture that was founded here in America is spreading out globally, and the fact that we were able to collaborate, though we had different languages, like being able to come together through hip-hop. It was just amazing.
Now, are there any other kind of displacements? I mean, we know kind of it's great to think about coming together around a culture that's shared. Were there any sort of dislocation, sense of, what's going on here?
I mean, I think there's a misconception that all hip-hop artists are like a Drake or a Kanye or a Jay-Z, but to actually understand that hip-hop artists and the ability to be at this independent level, that was something that people were starting to see when we were coming over there.
Well, with the artists that you were dealing with in Mexico, where are they drawing their inspiration?
I think that during the golden era is where a lot of inspiration is coming from, which is just great to see in an international presence that we've got people that love, you know, Jay-Z, Tupac, Biggie Smalls, and like still listen to them today in 2019. A lot of that inspiration is definitely still there in Morelia and Mexico City right now.
This is very much, though, a popular culture, which means it comes from the people and it comes from the environment. So it's one thing to be inspired by international artists, but to what extent did you feel that this was also very much grounded in their unique experience in where they were living in Mexico?
Oh, yes, because even though we're taking parts from hip-hop culture, like it was still grounded in Morelia. It was still grounded in Mexico City. And the fact that they were able to see their experiences and what they were going through and being able to express that through hip hop, which was that international community as well.
Yeah, Mark, what is that like for you as somebody who's taught hip hop, again, the sort of the American version of it, to actually see this sort of broader and yet still organic form and how it's expressed, both the similarities and the dissimilarities?
It's one of the great pleasures of doing this work is going to another country and seeing how they create their own hip hop. They're not importing hip hop. They're creating their own. We've seen Bollywood infused hip hop. We've seen cumbia infused hip hop, or maybe hip hop infused cumbia. We've been to Zimbabwe where we played with Mbira artists. So when we go places, they don't they don't think of hip hop as imported American culture. They think of it as local culture that they've created through U.S. influences. So it does complicate the question of say, imperialism and globalization, because there's flows both ways. And all of our artists who travel abroad come home with new ideas and new styles and sounds to bring into their art.
That said, do you run into any of that pushback? Oh, here come the Americans again pushing their culture on us.
Well, we would if we didn't do this in the right way. Mm-hmm. So if we came in and said, we know hip hop, we're from the birthplace of hip hop, so let's tell you how it is, we would get that pushback. But what we do very intentionally is we listen as much as we talk. We draw on their experience. And on the very first day, we don't just do showcases. We ask them about hip hop in their community and we collaborate. And actually the title of my book, Build, comes from the hip hop concept of building, which is collaboration rather than domination or even teaching or empowering.
That said, Rowdy, when you did a performance, I mean, obviously you're showing your stuff and talking to people as someone who has accomplished something in this field. What was the reception you got?
I mean, it was just amazing to see, even though I did not have this specific language skill set, the fact that I had this skill set in hip hop, I was still able to connect with this group that I otherwise would not be able to. So to still be able to see, regardless of borders or language barriers, that we were all still able to combine, decipher, to build during those 2 weeks, it was amazing.
So they didn't say something like, hey, wait a minute, where's Jay-Z? Who's this guy?
No, not at all.
Because we know you here.
Right.
We know you here.
Right.
But they don't get the state of things.
Right. But I think that if you represent the culture, if you are a representative and ambassador of hip hop culture, that truth people will be able to see. And especially if you have that skill set, that's what that people will gravitate to for sure.
I'd like to play a little bit of your performance when you were there, and then we'll come back.
He got okay.
We got a hold of it. We found it. It's all over. It went viral, and we picked it up. Here it goes.
All right, here we go. Okay, all right. Look. I'm chilling up with my man with a nice cap. It's Rowdy Rousey coming through with a nice rap. I'm getting brains and getting pain. Don't anyone I'm coming with lyrical lemonade. Right now, just what I say, what I do. Shoot, I think I got my groove. Give me like 2-2 step. Right now, I'm making moves. I bust a groove, bust a time, bust a rhymes. And right now, man, I'm about to go ahead and bust a drum. Got no Instagram. Look, I'm back up on no Instagram. So anyone right now, I think I am a man. Chilling in Impalas, I'm about to go ahead and drink all of my aqua. I'm out here like Super Broly, I'm super sane. I'm sipping playing right now, I think I get the trill. And when it comes to life, you know I keep it real. Hell, I'm still coming through like Goku. About to go ahead right now and make a move for Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan 23, and pretty soon we take a hit. My TNC, y'all say cypher.
There we go. No language barrier there. Rowdy performing at the Next Level in Mexico earlier this year joins us in the studio along with Mark Katz, the founding director of Next Level and the author of Build, The Power of Hip-Hop Diplomacy in a Divided World. So you talked about language being, I mean, how does that work now? You are using words.
Oh, I'm definitely using words, but one thing that we definitely hit while in Mexico is the ability to communicate and decipher beyond just like the physical language. The fact that, again, like even right now, what we're in a circle, this is a cipher, we're able to contribute. I had students able to contribute in their way, in their mode. Again, I'm not able to speak in Spanish, but I had students being able to speak in Spanish, but also be able to go into English as well. I had myself only specifically being able to bring the English, but like still, again, with the hip hop beats and then the flow. The flow is the way we communicate through hip hop, and that confidence that we give off, that braggadocio exuberance that we're trying to give, that you can feel beyond just like the language that you
tell us about. More about the cipher. Talk about that, because that's a hip hop artifact in and of itself, and it's a way of translating. So explain what that is.
So a cipher is a collaboration of artists that are able to give themselves, whether it be poetry, hip hop, dancing. There could be graffiti happening at the same time, but really just giving the energy to a circle and a space, and being able to provide your most authentic self yourself and your authentic truth, which we also do here in downtown Durham every Friday.
Now, we talked about some of the cultural differences. There was a moment where you had to give a tutorial on the N-word, and I think this is a fascinating moment. Maybe you can tell us more.
Well, we had to come to an understanding. The verbiage that was utilized with the N-word, like it is a popular word that is utilized in hip-hop, and so we had to have a very real discussion, because sometimes there was a misunderstanding or no understanding of the context of who is meant to use that word and utilize that word. And though, we see that it's used a lot by different hip hop artists, I had to give my personal understanding of where that word is coming from and how it is utilized in hip hop, and just kind of break down just where I view it as a African-American man.
But talk about what you had to say, because, again, I think the view from their point of view is, look, this is a word that has a kind of sense of camaraderie. This is how we bond, that's what the word, when I hear it as perhaps a Mexican hip hop artist,
right?
That's what I call my friends.
Right. And so then we had to, again, break down the different spellings, the different words. But then I had to break down, the history, about American slavery and whatnot. But then we even got into talking about how different people in Mexico, because a lot of the students that we had were of indigenous background. So getting that understanding of that divide as well. So that there was just huge dialogues from my understanding of where I'm coming from as a black man that's also a hip hop artist, but also where they're coming from as someone that is consuming the actual hip hop culture.
Was there any
time.
Discussion around some of the cultural issues in the United States? I mean, this came up again in the 50s and 60s, the idea that the United States was promoting this picture of a grand, melting pot where all of this stuff is accepted. And of course, that was not the truth. Jim Crow is still alive and well, as we're telling the rest of the world with the shining light of the hill. So do you get these kinds of questions? Like, what's it really like to be a black man in America?
So beyond race, because we had seen, hip hop was at this international presence. Mm-hmm. What we actually got to get to talking to was the patriarchy. So again, I'm a straight black male that identifies as such, and I have a place in hip hop. But where are our women MCs? Where are our young women MCs? And the usage of certain words that are being placed in hip hop. And the thing was that I had so many powerful women MCs, especially in Mexico City, that discussion, really, we got to see the role that women need to be taken right now.
Well, Mark, talk about the power of this thing to build. I mean, it's a program. You reach a certain number of people. Do you see it as something that actually can build these kinds of connections and have a broader, and I'll even ask it if it has a broader kind of political potential to bring people together globally?
It does. That's what we firmly believe. Our motto is building hip-hop or building global community through hip-hop. So I can give you an example or a couple of examples. 5 years ago, we went to Bangladesh and one of our first residencies. It was we had the biggest hip-hop show in the country to date there. Every year in November, on the anniversary, people who are there post pictures, talk about it. But even more than that, they have reunion shows. They are still working together. So that tells me we're having impact, because it's lasted beyond our 2-week visit. It was about creating a platform for them to succeed. It's not about us bestowing or empowering, but it's about partnership. And what happens is that people who have encountered us, I think, just feel a little more, they have a more nuanced understanding of the U.S. They, I think, feel more charitably towards the U.S., just like we do towards their country.
Mark Katz, founding director of Next Level, author of Build, The Power of Hip-Hop Diplomacy in a Divided World. Jay Rowdy, Triangle-based hip-hop artist who went to Mexico with the Next Level earlier this year. You can also check out his music. We've got links at our website, stateofthings.org. And they're both going to be at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill tomorrow evening for the book launch. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Frank.
Check out our website for more of Just Ahead. North Carolina writer Megan Miranda takes us between the pages of her latest thriller. Stay tuned. My way, my way.